This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. 50 years ago, there were around 65 birth facilities in West Virginia. Now there are 24, which means increased drive time for access to care for today's pregnant mothers. As Carol Lofton reports, closure of these facilities also means decreased access to women's health services.
Deanna Lucian was 20 weeks pregnant when the last remaining obstetrician in McDowell County retired, effectively closing Welch Community Hospital's birthing services. In addition to being pregnant, Lucian has a number of pre-existing health conditions, including a heart problem, making consistent access to care particularly important for her.
I went a month with struggling with getting my Lovenox shots, which is a blood thinning shot. I struggled with that. And then I didn't see a doctor for one full month.
She said she didn't know the doctor would be leaving until she went in for an appointment one day.
Basically tells all of his patients, gives the records to us, and we have to go.
As it turns out, Lucian still could have been seen at that facility. She didn't realize Welch would continue to provide prenatal and non-delivery services with help from a physician group in Beckley, even though delivery was no longer supported. So it took her about a month to find and get in to see a doctor in Bluefield, about an hour away, which is where she'll deliver.
We know that accessing transportation is a huge issue for many West Virginians.
That's Amy Tolliver, director of the West Virginia Perinatal Partnership. Lucian's hour-long travel time to obstetric care is not unusual in West Virginia. As of August 2017, 30 of West Virginia's 55 counties lack a birthing facility, meaning the majority of West Virginia women have to drive more than 30 minutes, sometimes as far as a couple hours, to access care.
Without access to transportation or being able to get off of work, it takes nearly an entire day for some communities to that they would have to drive an hour and a half each way to their provider. That's a huge impact in compliance with care and attending all of their prenatal visits.
According to the National Institutes of Health, prenatal visits can help prevent complications in pregnancy and assist with a healthy birth. Prenatal visits are particularly encouraged for women considered high risk. This term encompasses a variety of conditions, including obesity, smoking while pregnant, and women with pre-existing health conditions like Lucian. But Lucian doesn't have a driver's license, and her husband works the night shift in a coal mine. So when she has an appointment, he has to take her. I asked her what happens if she goes into labor while he's at work.
I'd have to call in up at the mines. The outside man would have to radio in to him, which takes about 25-30 minutes for him to get out of the mines itself. Then, more likely, either I would have to get in the vehicle, one of the two vehicles, and drive up to him, you know, to get there. And we just leave one at the mines and then go on to the doctor's from there.
Even though you don't have a license?
I gotta do what I gotta do.
Tolliver says there's a variety of reasons for birth centers closing.
So one is, yes, if you have diminishing populations within certain counties and certain areas, you would have diminishing numbers of births.
Birth is an expensive service to provide since you need staff on call 24 hours a day. When a hospital or center sees low volume, it can be too expensive to continue offering services. Additionally, small hospitals and facilities consistently struggle to recruit specialized providers to rural areas.
West Virginia is, not in this by itself. This is a rural health issue that the rest of the nation is really experiencing as well.
And Tolliver says the problem is unlikely to get better without creative policy solutions and more dollars for recruitment. Lucian says she's done with childbearing after this baby, but that for other women in her community, having access to local prenatal care would make all the difference in the world. For Appalachia Health News, I'm Carol Lofton.
Appalachia Health News is a project of West Virginia Public Broadcasting with support from the Ben and M Foundation, Charleston Area Medical Center, and WVU Medicine. This is West Virginia Morning. It's 7:48. Areas of fog this morning with variable cloudiness today. Highs in the 70s, mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies, a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Highs in the 60s and lower 70s. Support for the weather forecast is provided by Erie Insurance, putting service first since 1925. Local agents available at erieinsurance.com. And by the Clay Center, presenting Garrison Keillor's Prairie Home Love and Comedy Tour, September 10th at 7 p.m. Tickets and information at theclaycenter.org. Scientists say that there will be winners and losers when it comes to climate change's impact on agriculture. The Allegheny Front's Julie Grant looked at what that might mean for the food produced in Pennsylvania.
Farmer Matt Herbruck is glad he doesn't have to focus his vegetable crop on peppers again this year. In 2016, the weather was so hot and dry.
Sometime in June, I could clearly see that this was going to be one brutal summer.
He says temperatures were 5 to 10 degrees above average, and instead of the usual 12 inches of rain from May through August, they got only 2 inches all summer. It wasn't enough water to grow lettuce and leafy greens.
So we went big into peppers and eggplants and things like that. Unfortunately, peppers are really not the most lucrative crop, but we had a lot of them, so that was nice.
After 22 years of farming, Herbruck says it's undeniable. The climate is changing, and it's getting more extreme.
It's not unusual at all in this area to go from in the 40s one night to 90 36 hours later. It happens. And that's not normal. You know, the weather is crazy.
I hear a lot about that from our farmers.
That's Franklin Egan, Director of Education at PASA, the Pennsylvania Association for Sustainable Agriculture. And he says it's more than just talk. He points to data from the USDA that show while the amount of annual rainfall in Pennsylvania and the Northeast U.S. has increased only slightly in the past 50 years, the way it's coming down has changed.
We've been getting a lot more extreme rainfall events.
More than an inch of rain in a day is considered extreme.
The amount of extreme rainfall we've gotten has increased fully 71%.
It's a startling number and a far bigger change than in any other part of the country.
And so if you put that together, you know, about the same annual rainfall, but more intense rainfall, that means that Pennsylvania farmers are dealing with this paradox of way too much water at certain points of the year, punctuated by short but often fairly intense drought periods.
And both extreme wet and dry weather can make farming less reliable. And yet, Pennsylvania's Agriculture Secretary, Russell Redding, says climate change isn't all bad for farms in the region.
I would say at this point that it is a mixed bag.
According to Pennsylvania's climate assessment, last updated in 2015, those extreme rain events will get worse and summer heat waves will get more frequent and intense. So places like Harrisburg would feel more like Birmingham, Alabama. But whether that's good or bad largely depends on what a farm produces. Dairy, poultry and eggs, corn, vegetables, nuts and fruits are all produced in Pennsylvania.
There are going to be winners in this conversation in terms of their ability to grow extended season and different crops. And there'll be a downside because there's a lot of production agriculture that will not be able to tolerate the continued swings of rainfall and temperatures.
One example of that mixed bag, fruit. On the upside, Redding says, as the climate warms, new varieties of fruit are already being grown here.
We have apple varieties that would have been in the Shenandoah Valley in Virginia that are now in Pennsylvania. So they're real.
Redding says improved farming practices could also be driving the success of these new varieties. On the downside, the warming conditions are implicated in new unwanted pests. The Agriculture Department recently issued a quarantine in 6 counties to prevent the spread of the spotted lanternfly, a black, red, and white insect that first appeared in Pennsylvania and the U.S. just a few years ago. It could devastate the state's tree fruits and grapevines.
That becomes a major concern for us.
For many farmers, these unanticipated changes and all the variability mean they have to continually adjust their plans to suit the warming weather. Dairies are adding air conditioning to keep cows cool enough to produce milk. In fields, more are adding irrigation systems for dry periods. And more crops are being grown in hoop houses for better protection from weather and pests. Vegetable farmer Matt Herbruck says for years now, he's been shifting away from working the fields in July.
I just can't. Stuff doesn't grow that well. And also, I'm not going out there and it's 95 degrees. Who wants to do that?
But he also sees some benefits of climate change. Nowadays, October is still usually warm enough for planting, so he's still selling produce in November and December. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Julie Grant.
The Allegheny Front is produced in Pittsburgh and reports on the environment. More at AlleghenyFront.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Marshall University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Dave Mistich. I'm Teresa Wills.